We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. We really are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, at least for a little bit. And as you know, we're in a series right now, a series called Seeing Life Through God's Lenses. And in this series, we're trying to make sure that we actually can see things the way that God sees them. We don't see things correctly. So often we go down the wrong path because we didn't quite understand what the situation was. So often we think we know what reality is and it isn't. In the last few weeks, I've been giving you a lot of examples of that, illusions and things. But this morning, I would rather talk to you about the fact that there are a lot of people in the world, in fact, the majority of the world, who, if they were to believe there was a God, could never accept that there's a God that we can know and be known by. That to them, the idea of God is either so offensive, or if there is a God, they say he's somewhere far off. Maybe there was a creator that started it all off, but there's no way that you could ever communicate with that creator. And so this morning, we're going to talk about, is God knowable? And to start off, I want to show you a video. And again, did he tell you? We want to see the video. Can you start again for us? Turn it up too, please. Before you start, let me tell you, this is a man, Ben Stein. He did a movie not too long ago called Expelled. If you've ever seen it, it's a very good movie. And in it, he actually interviews this man on the left named Richard Dawkins. Can you turn me down a little bit? Richard Dawkins is the most famous atheist. I don't know if you've heard his name, but he's well known all over the world. He goes around speaking tours and says there is no God, and he's very much an evolutionist proponent. And so if you'll just listen to his explanation here of whether God is knowable or not. Go ahead. What he would do if he were to stand before God and find out that God truly existed. Richard Dawkins. How about now? We good yet? Richard Dawkins gives an answer that a man named Bertrand Russell once gave. He says, if I was confronted with God, I would just say, sir, why did you take such great pains to hide yourself? The creation, telling the creator, we couldn't see you because you're not knowable. You hide yourself from us. Why did you do that? Go to the next slide for me, please. So the question is God knowable or has he hidden himself? Can we stand before God and say, God, I didn't know you because you weren't knowable as far as I thought, that you didn't do anything to show who you are, that there was no way to see that? Do you realize there are a lot of people who are in this situation? They simply think that God has not shown himself at all. that if he would only show them who he was, that they would believe in him. But they can't see him, they say. One of the answers you can give is you can't see the wind, but you know it exists. You see the effect that the wind has, but that doesn't satisfy them either. And so my question today is, has God done anything to show us that he's knowable, or is he just beyond understanding? Is he so far beyond us that there's no way to interact with him? And as always, I say, let's go to the Scripture. Let's see what does the Scripture say. So will you stand with me as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 together? This is a passage from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And in this letter, you find out quite a bit about how we're supposed to live and why we're supposed to live in this way and what it means to follow Christ. And the Apostle Paul in chapters 2 says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us your nature. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be active among us. And if there's any here today who haven't known you, open their eyes and their hearts, open their minds that they may receive your Spirit and your grace. Bring to them to that place of knowledge of who they are, and bring them to that place of repentance, forgiveness of sins, and knowledge of who they will be. I pray in your name. Amen. Will you please be seated? Is God knowable? Can we know him? We're going to look at three different areas to see if God is knowable. First of all, we're going to look at the fact that the Apostle Paul claimed to know God. We're going to look at the rest of Scripture to see that there are many others who knew God. And finally, we're going to look to ourselves, look to the Scripture to see that we ourselves can know God. First of all, the Apostle Paul showed over and over that he knew God. In verse 2 of this passage in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Apostle Paul said, you know, I came to you and you heard a message from me, but it wasn't a message that I made up. It wasn't a message that you would believe because of how persuasive I can be in speaking. The Apostle Paul didn't think he was that good of a speaker. We might argue that fact and say, I have a feeling you were a very good speaker. But his point was, it's not what I say and it's not how I say it. It's Christ Himself. So while I was with you, I didn't try to know all great things. I didn't try to impress you with any of this knowledge that I have. All I wanted to know was Jesus Christ Himself and Him crucified. And his point is, if I could share with you what I know, who I know, then He would reveal Himself to you. The Apostle Paul had a very good idea that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the next slide for me. He goes on and he says in verse 12, "We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." You hear the claim here? He doesn't just say, "I knew Jesus Christ and know Him." He says, "I have the Holy Spirit. I've been given the Holy Spirit. I have been given God Himself. And He has revealed things to me." In verse 4, he said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power." So to Richard Dawkins, who said, "You know, I'd stand before the throne of God and say, 'Sir, why did you hide yourself?'" Now we have the Apostle Paul saying, "God has not hidden Himself at all. In fact, I not only know Jesus Christ, but I know the Spirit of God indwelling me, and the words and the power that you see in me are not me, but the power of the Holy Spirit working through me." A very, very different perspective here, don't you think? The one says, "Oh, you couldn't possibly know God. God hides Himself. He's so far away." Have you ever heard somebody try to say that? God is just distant. They talk about the old man up in the sky. And here you have the Apostle Paul saying, "You know what? I have a relationship with God that will blow your mind. The Holy Spirit is working in me, and the power you see in my life is Him, God Himself showing His power. And it's to the point that I really don't want to know everything. In fact, I just want to know Christ. Because in knowing Christ, the power of the Spirit is displayed." Go on for me. He even says, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. This man is claiming that he knows Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, that he is indwelled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit works through him, and that he is taught by God. Seems pretty odd that somebody could say that God hides Himself when here we have someone making these types of claims. In verse 9, he says, "God has revealed these things." Verse 9, God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Notice he says "us" here now. What does that mean? That means that he believes that he's not the only one who has this type of relationship with the Lord. Go on. The Apostle Paul knew God, and I really would like to show you how others in the Bible also knew God. To begin with, Adam and Eve knew God. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden how Adam and Eve sin against God, and then they immediately hide from Him? And right after that, it says, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden." They actually lived with God, and the presence of God would walk through the Garden of Eden. And they hid themselves. And what does God do? He calls out to them. He called out to the man, Where are you? Adam and Eve had a relationship with God to where they were in his presence constantly. Abraham. It says the Lord in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham is sitting there and the Lord comes to him. In chapter 18, verse 17, the Lord who has appeared to Abraham in the form of a man are with two other men who must be angels, and the Lord speaks in Abraham's hearing and says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Not only did Abraham know God, but God shared his thoughts with Abraham, letting Abraham know that he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, to the point where Abraham actually has a conversation begging God and almost in a way going back and forth trying to reason with God. God, would you really destroy this city if there were 50 righteous people in it? Lord, what about 40? Lord, please understand, no disrespect, but what about 30? And he goes all the way down to 10. Did Abraham know God? He not only knew God, he bartered with God. What about others in this scripture? Go to the next slide for me. Hagar, a woman who, if you know the whole business behind Hagar, it's something that would just blow your mind and you think this is a soap opera that's got to be on TV somewhere. There's no way that people in the Bible could have been doing this. Hagar was a concubine who was sent away and she had Abraham's son, Ishmael. And she was sent away by Sarah. And she's off and she's alone and she's feeling so alone. And the Lord speaks to her. And the Lord tells her to go back to Sarah. And she says this. Scripture tells us she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. I got to tell you, of all the places in Scripture, when I come across that in my reading, I always have to stop and let it sink in. Here was this woman completely alone. A lot of it was her own doing. A lot of it wasn't. But she doesn't know what to do. And God comes to her. And she says, "You are the Lord who sees me." That's the name that she is going to call God by from now on. You can imagine if she goes to the Lord in prayer, she says, "Lord, the Lord who sees me, please hear my cry now." How could we possibly believe that God hides himself when we have individuals who God has come to and they say, "You see me, God. You know me." And she goes on to say, "I have now seen the one who sees me." This is not a God who hides himself and may peek out to see her. This is a God who now has appeared to her. She has seen him. She knows his heart. He is a knowable God. Jacob, or Rebecca, Isaac's wife, has two babies inside her. She doesn't know what's going on. She just feels this jostling around inside. And it says that she cries out to God, "Why is this happening to me?" You ever done that? "Lord, why is this happening to me?" And it says the Lord answered her, told her there were two nations inside her, not just two babies, but two nations inside her. Isaac knew God, Rebekah's husband. It says the Lord, Abraham's son. By the way, this is why God, when he appears to the Israelites much later in time, calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you ever wondered why God uses that term over and over for himself? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why would he do that? because he appeared and he had a relationship with those three men, and he started his nation and all of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior are part of that nation through those three men and all of their descendants. He wants us to realize that he is a God who interacts with his creation and who is knowable by his people, because he knew Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they knew him. Isaac, it says, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live." Jacob knew God. Jacob says to his son Joseph, next slide, guys. He says, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me." And we see God do that in Genesis chapter 35. It says, after Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. Has God appeared to you? Maybe not in a way that you see him with your eyes, but in a way that you know him. Has he made himself known to you? Or do you feel like he's hidden from you this whole time? Go on. Moses knew God. When God appears to Moses in the burning bush, he says to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. You say God hides? That's strange. Moses actually had to turn away because he was afraid to look at the face of God. All of these people knew God. All of them experienced God. All of them spoke to God. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man would speak to his friend. God talked to Moses as a friend. I think that's a very freeing statement right there. Too many times we condemn ourselves for things that we've done. Too many times we decide that God can't love us. Too many times we make it seem like God is this horrible stepfather who would never, ever care for his creation. And yet God talked to Moses as a friend. The disciples knew God. The Apostle John in John chapter 1 says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We, as disciples, we, as apostles, he said, know God. We have seen him. We have been with him, and we have fellowship with him, and we want you to have that fellowship as well. We want you to have fellowship with us and with the Father and the Son. Now, the Apostle Paul knew God, others in the Bible knew God, and we ourselves can know God. In Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. For those who say, God has never shown himself to me, for those who say, God has never done anything that I know of, I can tell you with all assurance that yes, he has, and he has done that through Christ Jesus dying on the cross to set you free from your sin. He has done that by this gift of eternal life that he freely gives to all who turn to Christ for salvation. He has shown his love. He has shown himself. Jesus came God himself came to be human, lived without sin, but lived and experienced all the temptations and all the trials and all the troubles that any man, woman, or child ever experiences, so that he could be a perfect sacrifice on your behalf. He didn't hide himself. He came down right in the middle of humanity. He has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 33, for those who don't think that God is knowable, maybe they can start here. Maybe they can start with the words of the Lord. In Jeremiah 33, it says, "This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth." And he goes on for a little bit and talks about the Lord. But then he says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things which you do not know." If Richard Dawkins ever wanted my opinion and ever said to me, "What do you think about my little snarky comment? You think that'll keep me from hell?" I'll just tell God, "You just hid yourself." I would tell him, "Why don't you, instead of coming up with witty ways to show your ignorance of God's existence, why don't you humble yourself and ask him to reveal himself to you?" He says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things which you don't know." Maybe, just maybe, you don't know it. Maybe there is a God who has shown himself, but you don't know it because you haven't looked. And maybe if you'll humble yourself and cry out to him, he'll answer you like he has for so many all throughout history. So many who have just cried out, "Lord, I need to see you. I need to know you. I submit my life to you." Go to the next slide. Isaiah 46 says, "You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you." If you don't know God, ask him to show himself, and he'll show you. John 17 tells us that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's that simple. Is God knowable? Yes. And you know what? That's where eternal life is, knowing God. That's how we know eternal life. All these religions that are set up to find some type of peace, all these religions that are set up to find paradise, they're missing the fact that paradise, heaven, eternal life is in knowing Christ Jesus. Period. No life, no Jesus. If there's no life, there's no Jesus. Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul prays for the church in Colossae. He says, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." What a wonderful thing to know that I don't just come to know God in a small sense, I grow in that knowledge. And as I walk with Christ on this side of eternity, I can increase and understand more and more who he is as he reveals himself to me more and more, showing me how to walk with him, showing me what it looks like to be righteous, showing me what it looks like to be holy, and showing me what it looks like to enjoy him instead of chasing down the so-called pleasures of the world. Ephesians 1, he prays for the Ephesians and says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Next slide, please. And we pray this, he says, in order that, I did that already. Go two slides for me. Keep going. Go one more. The Bible is very clear, and we can spend all of our time trying to hide from the fact that God has revealed himself. But he has revealed himself, and he is knowable. And if we know him, we will be set on a path that is very different from those who don't know him. If we know him, we will see things through his eyes. He will reveal to us through his Spirit which way to walk, how to live, how to enjoy his presence, what it means to be his. So the question is, do you know him? Not is he knowable? The real question is, do you know him? Because he is knowable. He's not hiding himself. Are you experiencing his presence? Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you recognizing that you have truly shown yourself. You have shown your glory all around us. Lord, we can look at creation and see your handiwork. We can look at the lives around us and see your great work. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you, that you would use us as instruments of your glory, that they would see you in our lives. Teach us, Lord, that we may know you more, that we may know you better. Give us that heart of joy, that passion of worship, that song of praise. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, open their eyes that they may see you, their hearts that they may receive you, and their minds that they may know you.